Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new company to all of you, and in all fairness, a fairly new company when it comes to the management team that just took over and was appointed to run this company mid-November of last year. I am introducing Signature Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol SGU, and on the OTCQB under the symbol SGGTF. I'm chatting with Robert Vallis. He is the president and CEO of Signature Resources. Robert, because this is the first time on the show, I really want to focus on some of the catalysts and the flagship project here in Signature Resources, as you guys are getting on the field here very soon to initiate a drill program. First and foremost, let's talk about this project, the Lingman Lake Gold Project. This project is in the Red Lake District of Ontario, just in the northern part of this Red Lake District. This is a brownfields project. There's been some historic work done here. There is even a historic resource. It is not 43-101 compliant. Robert, first and foremost, give us a little background on the historic work that has been done here at Lingman Lake, please.
Good morning, Corey. Thank you. Certainly. The historic work that was done on Lingman is extensive. It originated in the 40s, just before World War II. Collectively, there was over 28,000 meters of drilling done from that, and the impressive results that came from that. There was underground infrastructure developed, inclusive of a shaft and three sublevels, achieving a depth of only about 130 meters. From that, there were various bulk samples taken, underground drilling, mapping, these sorts of things completed to further add to the confidence at the time that this was a production-ready asset. And at that time, in the mid to late 40s, a mill was mobbed to the site along with other components to commence with the development for production. However, World War II had arrived, and that had, along with the lack of funding at that point, become a catalyst for the shutdown of the project, where it remained dormant for the better part of 40 years until the late 70s, early 80s.
Now, something you mentioned there is that this 28,000 meters, just over that of historic drilling, it was really focused on moving this into production. So the drilling is quite tightly spaced, and the resource, the historic resource, is, again, quite tightly spaced. It's fairly well known, although it is not 43-101 compliant. Give us a little insight into the historic resource and the general size we're talking about here.
Certainly. The resource itself was delineated in the early 80s at around 234,000 ounces, averaging a grade of 6.87 grams per ton. From that, the drilling itself is contained in that historic resource within an area delineated by about 650 meters in strike east-west to about 300 meters north-south, and only 180 meters in depth from surface. That is certainly something that has us quite excited. The drilling, as you say, was done quite closely, given the fact that the mineralization is steeply dipping, quite lenticular and consistent on an east-west strike. The drilling itself did multiple duty per hole to really help define the characteristics of the mineralized zone and zones that were discovered and that we continue to and are about to continue to extend.
So in terms of the work that needs to be done to bring that historic resource to a 43-101 compliant nature, what do you guys need to do?
Essentially, it's a ground-up effort, Corey, to take all of the historic data, as you can imagine, much of it from the 40s right on through other hands that were at it in the late 70s, early 80s, bits and pieces of data, all needed to be correlated, combined, scrubbed, and then brought into a modern environment of resource modeling. And that effort is currently ongoing with Nordman Engineering. And that, of course, is ultimately to provide us with a 43101 compliant resource that would act as a stable foundation for us to not only further analyze what we have, but continue to add results to, which we're about to do shortly with our 2,500 meter drill camp, winter drill campaign that'll be starting in early March.
Okay. So the way that I understand it is that you guys are looking at making that historic resource 43101 compliant, but because the drilling was so tightly spaced, you are looking property wide at some of the exploration opportunities here. As much as this is a brownfields project, there are some targets on this project that you could, I guess, consider greenfields, or at least a little bit less well known than the actual gold zone that has been proven out through historic drilling. What are you guys seeing in terms of exploration potential here at this project?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, aside from, as you say, the Lingman Lake deposit itself and the fact that we know this thing is likely to run on strike and continue to depth, something we're excited to build out, it's also the regional potential that has us quite excited, given the fact that we have about 30 kilometers in strike length of property. And about 20 of that, at least, is on the west side or west of the Lingman Lake deposit. Within that, via significant surface exploration efforts that have taken place over the last 2 years, we've identified not only the opportunities that are throughout, but also identified through historic data, surface sampling and efforts that were done in certain parts of our claim package, almost 20 kilometers away, actually, that indicate opportunities to return to further delineate what those potential opportunities may be. Geologically speaking, we are quite excited, given the fact that this is beginning to show that there is a high probability for further mineralized zones throughout that 20-kilometer strike. So from our perspective, there is a good potential for a district-level mineralized package.
So I'm going to be posting a link to the company's presentation, and slide 12 does highlight these overall seven target zones that have been identified through an airborne survey. In terms of the work that the company is going to do this year and moving forward, you already mentioned a drill program that will be starting up soon. What's going to be the focus of this initial 3,000 meter drill program?
The focus of the program, the drilling, will be at Lingman Lake to extend the known historic resource towards the west. There is a diabase dike that basically acts as a barrier to the historic resource. And that was really the boundary for the effort that was done at that time. We know that this continues on the west side of that north-south trending dike. We know it continues to the west. There was a part of a zone that was identified historically. So we're focusing in that area to essentially pick up the zones as they continue on the west side of the dike to demonstrate that this thing has significant scale.
So this initial drilling really is just trying to show the market that although the resource is fairly tightly drilled, there's opportunities very closely outside the resource. So almost that low-hanging fruit in terms of potential near-term ounces to be added to the resource?
That's exactly it, Corey. It is low-hanging fruit. We know it's there. So our approach is more or less a step-out type approach, but not stepped out, you know, to distances between drill holes that are difficult to infer continuity. We're keeping it reasonably tight, but through that effort and taking the depth of that down to about 200 meters and a strike of about 600 to 700 meters, we'll be able to, we hope, demonstrate that this continues at least in the westerly direction on strike. From there, certainly with higher orders of funding, we expect to move to higher orders of work at site through an upscale of the drilling activities. From that, we would anticipate that we would continue on a strike direction to expand the deposit, but also go back and begin moving to depth, given the fact that we're only at 200 meters at this point. We know from some historic holes that go to about 250 meters that the mineralization continues. So we're excited to do that.
Okay, so this 3,000 meters really is just a start. And we'll get into some of the company funding. But as you get some more money in the bank, we can all assume that this drill program will expand. One thing that's interesting about this company is that you actually own your own drill rig. So that does bring down drilling costs. Can you share with us what approximately the cost will be per meter for drilling?
Yes, the cost, based on our historic work prior to myself and the chairman's arrival in November, prior to that, the previous management team running essentially off of their own funding and some smaller funding, were able to work towards the first stages of validating the historic resource through twin drilling and re-assaying. Through that effort, you know, we got to get they were able to get the drilling costs down to mid to low 200s per meter. From that, we are budgeted to be around 250 to 220 per meter as well. So the learnings from that will be continuing forward, but also the efforts that are taking place at site currently to prepare for this drilling campaign, but also for an upscale, includes an optimization of our camp so that we're able to maintain an economy of scale that'll keep our costs in that range as we increase.
So in terms of these targets then, are they all pretty much isolated, or is there more surface work that needs to be done before the drill can start turning initially on this zone to the west, but then also testing out some of the other regional targets?
The first part, the Lingman Lake, you know, west side of the known historic resource, ready to go. Drill targets are set. We're literally ready to start turning the drill. We've been fighting with extreme deep temperatures and COVID conditions, as you would imagine, are hampering efforts to get us going sooner than later, but we're fighting through that and still expect to start early to mid-March in a few weeks. The second part, on a regional basis, the targets that are identified on our slide 12 that you mentioned earlier in our presentation currently are targets that were defined from the known data sets that we have. Starting this spring, we will be commencing a fairly extensive data collection program to not only redo airborne geophysics, but also ground data collection as well, be it surface, continuity, these sorts of things, to build a layer of understanding of what opportunities are there, where they are. We know they're extensive, but we want to make sure that we're zoning in on what the highest probability areas are for us to set drill targets with.
Okay, appreciate that insight. Now, you did just mention about two answers ago that yourself and the chairman just recently took over those roles in mid-November. This is your first time on the show. Can you give us a little bit of background in terms of your history in the resource sector, please?
Certainly. I've been about 25 years in the industry, Corey. I've moved through the operational levels as a mine engineer in my first several years, about 8 to 10 years with Barrick Gold, primarily at the Hemlo operations in northern Ontario at the top of Lake Superior there. Beyond that, working globally with teams on an operating basis in terms of optimizing drill programs and engineering activities that were happening throughout. And from that, moved into a continuous improvement role to help develop and bring that into Barrick on a global basis for a few years. From that, I transitioned into corporate development with Barrick, baptism by fire there with the acquisition of the Placer Dome company. From there, continued in that capacity, translated into 1 foot into capital projects before exiting Barrick. So that was about 2 years working on the Cerro Casale management team, as well as there were many other projects running in parallel with Barrick at the time that I was also supporting with other corporate development colleagues. And then about 2010, I could see some of the writing on the wall in terms of challenges coming towards Barrick. So I decided to move on after 15 years, entered with into Yamana's team with Yamana Gold in around 2010, and continued with them for just under 9 years, you know, working to grow the firm and help optimize the firm in various ways, which was quite a rewarding and diverse opportunity for sure. From that, I moved into Golden Star Resources in early 2019 to drive the corporate development activities there. There was a number of management changes and philosophical approaches, I guess, to advancing the firm throughout that year. That translated ultimately to the firm deciding to relocate to London, England. So I decided to not proceed with that and exited and helped Golden Star close their doors around the end of April of 2020. From there, I was approached by Paulo later that year, I guess somewhere around July, August, September, that time frame. Paulo being our new chair, our relationship was quite extensive with his presence at Red Cloud at the time. However, it didn't take me long to be convinced, particularly through the objective views of some geologists assisting with my own due diligence on the opportunities that we've just discussed here. So it's a series of catalysts really that brought me to the table here. This is a rare opportunity that we have in front of us, something that is so positioned for growth in terms of historic work done, the fact that it's completely drill ready. It's rare to find that, but above and beyond that, the quality of the resource itself is outstanding, the high grade nature of it, the high density ounce per vertical meter is just, you know, something that has the opportunity to move into some rarefied territory in terms of those metrics.
All right, let's talk about a couple of the other company fundamentals. Share structure, 187.4 million outstanding, 276.2 million on a fully diluted basis. Can you give us an insight on how much cash the company has right now to at least start this drill program, please?
We have just around $3 million in hand to complete this drilling program. We're certainly excited about that because, you know, post my joining and Paulo's in mid-November, we were able to achieve that initial funding target of $1 million to start a small drilling program quite rapidly. From there, we doubled that funding with an announcement in early December, and then later in December, a tripling of that target to $3 million. So we're well positioned and fully financed to move through this first round of drilling, as well as all the other activities that we have running in parallel, assisting with the positioning of the firm, as well as the team and its capabilities to really ramp up what we're doing and deliver results effectively and as rapidly as possible.
All right, let's wrap it up with the near-term catalyst then. Take us through everything that investors or those watching the company can look forward to in the near term, please.
Yeah, I think firstly, it's important to point out that we've taken a few steps to round out our advisory board with some new additions. That's in the various press releases you'll find. But by doing that, we certainly brought some significant voices to the table, representing, you know, various areas of our industry, with individuals, you know, bringing that expertise to our team. So we're excited about that. With that, and I said, the activities that are in progress related to the movement of our historic resource to a modern 43-101 compliance, the development of our site, getting ready for this drilling campaign, and then, as well, our development of an enhanced communication and marketing platform with our partnership with Verify. You know, all of these things are coalescing together to merge with the next significant event, which will be the commencement of our 2,500-meter drilling campaign, as I mentioned previously, in early to mid-March. So look for those results to be coming out in mid to late March, at least the beginnings of that drill campaign. So that would be the near-term catalysts. Beyond that, as we complete that drilling campaign over about a month to a month and a half, which will bring us into probably mid to late April, we're also looking at and working on our next round of significant funding. From that and the securing of that funding, as I mentioned earlier, we're aiming to upscale our drilling activities at site and you know, increase that positive feedback loop of more data delivered to the street, you know, to generate more value for our shareholders.
Okay, Robert, I appreciate the time that you've spent with us to introduce this company. As I mentioned, I will be posting a link to the Signature Resources website and the corporate presentation. When you guys have a chance, please read over the corporate presentation. Give me any feedback you have on this company or any follow-up questions you have regarding any of the aspects of Signature Resources and how the team is planning on moving it forward, this new management team. Robert, I appreciate your time today. I'll follow up as some more news hits the market. But yeah, keep us up to date, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Corey.